Stay tuned for Dialogos Radio, a weekly Greek-American radio program hosted by Michael Nevradakis, here on WUSB Stony Brook.
Καθρεφτάκι σου παλιό και πίσω απ' τη θαμπάδα η Σμύρνη με το κορδελιό και η παλιά Ελλάδα και η παλιά Ελλάδα μου τσουρωμένο το γυαλί. Μα πίσω απ' τους καπνούς του βλέπει ο Θεός το αϊβαλί και σταματάει ο νους του και σταματάει ο νους του.
Τα σμυρναϊκά τραγούδια ποιος σου τα μάθε να τα λες και να δακρύζεις της καρδιάς μου αν θες. Τα σμυρναϊκά τραγούδια ποιος σου τα μάθε να τα λες και να δακρύζεις της καρδιάς μου αν
καθρεφτάκι σου παλιό και το μυαλό χαμένο σε ποιο τα ήπιες καπηλιό και μου ήρθες μεθυσμένο και μου ήρθες μεθυσμένο μου τσουρωμένο το γυαλί. Μα πίσω απ' τους καπνούς του βλέπει ο Θεός το αϊβαλί και σταματάει ο νους του και σταματάει ο νους του.
Τα σμυρναϊκά τραγούδια ποιος σου τα μάθε να τα λες και να τα γκρίζεις
τα σμυρναϊκά τραγούδια
ποιος σου τα μάθε
να τα λες και να τα κρίσεις τα σμυρναϊκά τραγούδια ποιος σου τα μάθε να τα λες και να τα κρίσεις της καρδιάς μου αν θες της καρδιάς μου αν θες.
A beautiful classic piece kicking off today's broadcast of Dialogos Radio as we heard Kostas Makedonas along with Pandelis Thalassinos singing the Spiraneika Tragudia. This is Dialogos Radio, the Greek-American radio program which is heard on 8 radio stations across 4 continents, in the United States, in Greece, in Australia, and now in South Africa, as we are officially launching our broadcasts on Hellenic Radio, 1422 AM in Johannesburg this week. My name is Michael Nevradakis. Βραδάκης. Καλή χρονιά. Happy New Year to everyone who is tuned in. This is our first new broadcast of the new year, 2014. And on today's show, we will hear more great Greek music, such as the first song that we heard today. But before that, though, we will hear this week's edition of the Diálogos interview series, where today we will be speaking with a distinguished professor from the London School of Economics in the field of economic history by the name of Albert Ritzel. Albert will speak to us today about an issue that is a political hot potato of sorts, both in Greece and also in Germany. Namely, he will speak to us about the issue of Germany's unpaid war reparations and war debts toward Greece. And in this interview, Professor Ritzel will present a detailed history of these reparations and the war debts and how they came to be. He will provide estimates as to what these debts are worth today, and he will analyze the political situation surrounding this rather controversial issue, particularly in Germany. This is an interview that you will not want to miss, on a topic that very few media outlets have covered. And following the interview, we will have some special announcements about the Diálogos Radio in store, including a surprise, which is an announcement regarding our new collaboration with the Greek-American publication Portes magazine. All of that is coming up later in today's broadcast. Stay tuned now, however, for this week's edition of the Diálogos interview series and our interview with Professor Albert Ritzel of the London School of Economics. The Diálogos interview series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Diálogos Radio. Joining us today on the Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos interview series is a professor of economic history from the London School of Economics, Albert Ritzel. Professor Ritzel, thank you for joining us today on our program.
My pleasure.
And to get us started, share a few words about yourself and your academic background.
I'm originally from Germany. I'm an economist by training, veered off into economic history during my PhD, and have been working on this subject throughout my career. I'm a specialist on Germany's interwar depression and to some extent on the Nazi economy of the 1930s and 1940s.
And let's talk specifically about the war debts, which many believe Germany owes Greece and other countries as well. Many people are not aware about the occupation loan that the Nazi regime forced Greece to give during the World War II period. Tell us a few words, a brief history, if you will, about this issue.
The very basics of this are that Germany exacted a forced loan from the Bank of Greece during the occupation, and that forced loan was not paid back. There was probably no intention to. What we had here was an attempt to disguise, to camouflage, so to speak, occupation cost as a forced loan. And this loan had obviously several bad aspects. It fueled hyperinflation in Greece, which was already on the way due to the occupation, due to the previous Italian occupation, and most importantly drained Greece of vital resources, led to a further decline, catastrophic decline in economic activity. It probably did nothing to make the German occupation in any way less unpopular than it had been before. Stiffened the resolve of Greeks' resistance. So it did all kinds of very tragic and bad things.
And did the Nazis also extract forced loans from other countries that they occupied during this period?
Yes, this was a very common and widely used instrument. Just to explain a little bit what was going on, the Nazis implemented a fixed exchange currency system in the occupied countries, manipulating, managing exchange rates to the Reichsmark, to the German currency at the time, more or less at will. That system was centralized at Germany's central bank, the Reichsbank in Berlin, through a system of short-term accounts. like overdraft accounts, and Germany went into overdraft with respect to the occupied countries, that created the illusion of payment. So when French, when German officers went into French factories, to Belgian factories, to Dutch factories, those were the three countries where Germany got most of its resources out, and requisitioned machinery or raw materials or whatever, they would pay. And these payments would then essentially be credited to the account of their respective national banks at the Reichsbank. The forced loan from Greece followed a very similar pattern. Now, as I have already said, the vast bulk of these loans were essentially from Western Europe. Greece, due to the small size of its economy, was only a very, very small part of this. Nevertheless, of course, the effects on the Greek economy were devastating.
Now, what happened after the end of World War II as far as the forced loans from Greece and the other countries were concerned, and the reparations and the repayments of the German war debts in general?
You will be surprised to hear that nothing happened. And the reason is the following. After the Allied invasion and the collapse of the Nazi regime, the first thing the occupation authorities did was to block all kinds of claims by and against the German government under the legal fiction that the German government and the German state didn't exist anymore. And the question was then what to do with it as soon as new state structures were created in the late 1940s. And that was highly controversial because many of the governments in Western Europe were saying, we are all too happy to restart trade and some sort of economic relationships with occupied Germany. And by the way, we still have these unsettled clearing accounts with the Germans. How about the Germans just delivering goods to us in order to run down their deficits on these accounts? And that became a major policy concern with the occupying powers, especially with the Americans, as the Americans were quite worried that in the end, the occupied zones of Germany, the occupation zones of Germany, would bleed out economically through such a system of repayment of the war loans, and that America essentially then would have to restock or refuel Germany. Why they were so worried about this has to do with the history of reparations after World War I, when something similar was put in place after the end of the German hyperinflation. It was an American scheme for stabilization of the German economy called the Dawes Plan, which essentially did the following thing. Germany would pay reparations to the Western allies, and America would provide financial assistance to Germany. That scheme between 1924 and 1929 kind of went out of hand and led to basically America bankrolling Germany's reparations. So the Americans after World War II were extremely worried about a repetition of this thing, about kind of stepping into the same financial trap again. So what they did was to block all these things. And how did they block it? Through an ingenious and slightly malicious device, whichever country wanted to receive Marshall Aid from the Americans under the Marshall Plan had to sign a waiver waiving all kinds of financial claims against Germany from World War II against Marshall Aid, which means that this would not be entirely blocked, but it would have to be put on hold. All these claims would have to be put on hold until post-war Germany had paid off its Marshall Aid that it received from the United States back to the United States. In technical terms, what that did was to make reparation and credit claims against Germany from World War II to make that junior, second rank, lower in rank, to Marshall assistance to Germany. And as everybody wanted to get Marshall Aid from America, everybody grudgingly signed these waivers. So the situation during the Marshall Plan period was that all these debts still existed on paper, but they were worthless in the sense that the debt was blocked.
And what is the total amount of war debt that Germany is said to owe Greece and also the other countries as well?
The debt to Greece was to the tune of a little bit less than 500 million Reichsmarks. Total debt to Western Europe on clearing accounts was about 30 billion Reichsmarks. Now, this doesn't sound like a lot, but it becomes a little bit more meaningful if I tell you that this is about a third the grand total is about a third of Germany's national product in 1938, the last year before Germany started World War II. Now, that is not the only debt, because Germany manipulated the value of the debt through the system of split exchange rate that it had under its own total control. So there are calculations done by German government officials towards the end of World War II, so still under Nazi rule, where they tried to figure out what is actually the realistic value of all this debt that we have incurred in Western Europe or in occupied Europe. And there they arrived at a figure that was closer to 80 or 90 billion. And that gets very close to Germany's national product of 1938, let's say about 85% to 90%. And now we are talking really big sums, because just to give you an idea, Germany's national product last year was somewhere above 2 trillion euros. So let's take 90% of that. We are still above 2 trillion euros, just to give you an idea of what that debt back then was relative to Germany's economic potential. So it was 90%.
And is there any way to quantify that debt and its value today if we adjusted for inflation and for the changes in value over the past several decades?
There are several ways of doing it. What I just did is one way of doing it. And here we would say the grand total of that debt, if we take German GDP as the yardstick and don't try deflating it, but just say the total, the value of the debt measured as a percentage of Germany's GDP, of total output of the economy in one given year, would today be over 2 trillion euros.
And we are speaking with Professor Albert Ritzel of the London School of Economics here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series. Professor Ritzel, what has Germany's argument been historically and also in the present day regarding the issue of the war debts and the reparations?
There was an important interim step, which was London Agreement on German debt. In the early 1950s, some negotiations were started between West Germany and the creditor countries about what to do with all this. And a solution was found, basically imposed again by the Americans and to some extent by the British. A solution was found that did two things. First, it would lump together these war debts with reparations, which is not an innocuous step to take. And second, it used a slightly fuzzy language, which is open to interpretation, that was saying that settlement of these issues would be postponed to until after future German reunification. Why are these two things important? The first thing is, if you lump together this war debt with German reparations, you basically create one big pot. And there is no doubt that Germany paid very substantial attention to reparations in kind after World War II, basically through two elements. One was forced deliveries, that was especially important for what later became East Germany, and second, through cutting of the territories which are now parts of Poland and to a small extent of Russia, which could all be termed reparations in kind. So if you lump together these war debts with reparations in kind, then the balance is probably a little bit lower, simply because these reparations in kind were no doubt quite substantial. The other thing is this fuzzy language postponing settlement of these things to until after German unification, because the big question then became whether this clause, Article 5 of the London Agreement, would become binding after the German unification, which did indeed take place in 1990.
At the present time, we hear a lot in the press and the media about the German economic success story, about German fiscal responsibility compared to the supposed irresponsibility of the southern European countries such as Greece. But you, however, have argued that Germany was the biggest debt transgressor of the 20th century. Why do you believe this is the case?
Well, we just can do the numbers. And we already talked about these war debts being almost equal, like 90% or something like this, of Germany's economic output in the last pre-war year, when the German economy was running at full employment. So this was essentially never paid back. Plus, we have Germany's internal public debt, which was all but wiped out, not entirely wiped out, in a currency reform undertaken by the Americans in the western zones of occupied Germany and by the Soviets in the eastern zone of occupied Germany in 1948. The Soviets wiped out Germany's internal public debt that entirely. The Americans wiped it out by 85%. Now, if we kind of add everything up and try to come up with a super grand total of German debts, both internal and external, wiped out in the currency reform and in the London Agreement, we arrive at a figure which is roughly, and this is very, very rough, but just to have some sort of an idea, which is roughly four times Germany's national product. So to provide this in values of today, if we accept that Germany's national product is somewhere to the tune of 2.something trillion euros, which is beyond $2.5 trillion US dollars, we would be talking about a debt default and debt forgiveness somewhere in the range of $10 trillion. I would tend to think that this is probably unrivaled in 20th century history.
Is there any movement or any activism that you are aware of in Germany at the present time to raise awareness about the issue of the war debts and the war reparations?
There is relatively little to explain that. Let's delve a little bit into the legal position at the time of Germany's unification in 1990. Germany received this kind of baptism certificate for a unified Germany, which is incredibly subtly worded and whose only purpose was apparently to prevent reparation or restitution claims against unified Germany being raised on the grounds of the fact that there is a unified German state now, and that something like Article 5 of the London Debt Agreement could all of a sudden be reactivated. The German point of view is essentially that the so-called 2+4 treaty of 1990 is not making any mention of reparations and of wartime debts of Nazi Germany, and given the fact that this issue is not covered by the treatment or by the treaty, the issue is essentially dead. This has been consistently been the position of the German government, which is that through the omission of the issue in the 2+4 treaty of 1990, the reparations and war debt issue is basically not just dormant, it is dead and settled forever. The German position has so far been quite successful. Several attempts to challenge it in the European court have been unsuccessful, and it seems to mean that from a legal standpoint, there is some relatively little chance that this will be successfully challenged. Which leads us to the question of why the awareness in Germany of these issues isn't greater. And there is one thing that it gives an indication of that. It's clear that official Berlin has no intention to talk about these issues very much, because lawyers always are worried about creating legal precedent for any claims. So official Berlin remains mum on these issues. The one who did say something, and it was quite revealing back then at the time, was former German Chancellor Helmut Kohl, who at the time of the negotiations once walked out into a press conference, and when he was asked about these issues, he said, look, we claim that we cannot pay reparations because if we open this Pandora's box, then given the viciousness and brutality of Nazi warfare, the genocides, there were several genocides that the Nazis carried out, given these absolutely horrific facts and the sheerly unbelievably scale of these horrific crimes, any attempt to quantify this and translate it into claims against Germany will either come up with ridiculously low compensation, or it is basically going to eat up all of Germany's national wealth. And this has consistently been Germany's standpoint ever since, that the damage done by Nazi Germany, not just in terms of morality, in terms of human suffering, but simply in terms of creating material financial damage, is so huge that it would simply supersede Germany's capacity to pay. And as an economist, I have to say, I'm afraid this is not entirely far-fetched. There is probably something to it. So what Helmut Kohl then said next was that instead of trying to opening this Pandora's box and going down the route of reparation claims, it would probably be better to continue what he viewed at the time as successful economic cooperation within Europe. Back then, this looked good, and it was in those pre-Euro days when everybody was wildly optimistic about the future of economic cooperation in Europe. Now we have become a little bit more realistic about this, but back then it was probably not entirely unrealistic or unreasonable to think of these issues that way.
In your view, what would be the best solution for the Greek and the German governments regarding the war debts and the war reparations issue at this time?
The best solution would, of course, be to try and depoliticize things to the maximum possible extent. Now, I know entirely that this is entirely unrealistic, simply because it has been political from day one. What I would prefer to do is, instead of giving an illusionary very personal opinion on this is probably to provide some directions as to, or some forecast as to where I think the whole issue is going to go. Let me say a few things about, I don't want to evade your question entirely, about what I think should be done. I do think that we need much more debt forgiveness, and I think we would need it relatively fast. I'm among those who are quite worried about the political situation in Greece right now. The Greek government is quite clearly the servant of two masters. One is the electorate in Greece, which understandably and quite obviously is not pleased with the situation, to say the very least. And the other master is are the international creditors led by Germany and to a lesser extent by the IMF. And quite clearly the interests, at least in the short term, of the creditors and of Greece's population are not aligned. They are quite contrary to each other. It puts the Greek government in a terrible situation. I'm worried about it, I mean, for the future of democracy in Greece. And I'm worried about it as a German for two reasons. First, because of the historical responsibility that Germany cannot deny. And second, because Germany once went through a very, very similar experience. And that experience was the end of the reparation problem after World War I in the Great Depression of the 1930s. And the German government had been made to pay reparations under a very strict scheme. This scheme, the Young Plan, started in 1929. It was tough, tough, and tough. And in many, many respects, it reminds me of what the German Finance Ministry and the Troika have been imposing on Greece. And the effects were very similar. Decline of output to the tune of 25% to 30%, mass unemployment, political radicalization. Basically, what the Young Plan did was to put Nazi boots on the streets. And oh yes, I'm quite worried about the situation in Greece. And so I do think we should take swift action in order to stabilize Greek democracy. Do I think this is going to happen? I'm a bit skeptical. I'm afraid that two things will happen. First of all, in the end, there will be widespread debt forgiveness, but that all this will come late in the day and that far-reaching damage to Greek democracy will have been done.
Well, Professor Itzel, thank you very much for taking the time to join us on our broadcast today, and thank you very much for sharing your insights with us.
Thank you for having me.
Attention iTunes users, the Alagos Radio is now just a click away. You can now download our podcasts and listen to the Alagos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere. Check us out today in the iTunes podcast directory and in iTunes Radio. That was this week's edition of the Dialogos interview series here on the Dialogos Radio, where we just heard an interview with a London School of Economics professor, Albert Ritzel. The podcast of this interview will soon be available online on our website, dialogosmedia.org, and also in our newly updated app for Android devices available in the Google Play Store, as well as in our new app for the Kindle Fire and for Amazon Kindle devices available in the Amazon Marketplace, also in iTunes and in TuneIn.com. And in addition, all of our podcasts are now also available through our new app for BlackBerry devices, available in the BlackBerry App World, and in our new apps for the Google Chrome browser, available in the Chrome Web Store. Coming up later in today's broadcast, we will be making some more special announcements about Dialogos Radio, and we will also be featuring an interview with Vasiliki Mitrakos, an editor with a Greek-American publication known as Porotes Magazine, who will talk about a new collaboration that we are launching between Porotes Magazine and Dialogos Radio that will soon be heard on our broadcasts. For now, though, we will get back to some music. Keep it locked in here on Dialogos Radio.
Yeah. λύσω ποιον δεν ζήσει της αγάπης τη φωτιά. Έλα και πάρε μ' αγκαλιά πρωτού η αγάπη σβήσει. Έλα και δώσε μου φιλιά. Έλα και πάρε μ' αγκαλιά πρωτού η αγάπη σβήσει. Έλα και δώσε μου.
Σε ριάνισε με απόψε να χαρεί. πληγής που μ' άφησε μια αγάπη μου παλιά σαν να ήταν χορού παραγγελιά. Τραγούδι μου κοντά σου θα βρεθώ στο πέταγμα σου για να λυτρωθώ. Φτέρω το μου τραγουδάκι, ποιος σε κυβερνά, ποια νεράιδα σε έχει μάθει να γλεντάς τον πόνο. Κι όταν το παράπονο μου στην ψυχή ξυπνά, να ξέρες το άκουσμα σου τι καημούς γλιτώνω. Κυβερνά, ποια νεράιδα σε έχει μάθει να γλεντάς τον πόνο. Κι όταν το παράπονο μου στην ψυχή ξυπνά, να ξέρεις το άκουσμα σου τι καημούς γλυκώνω.
Diálogos Radio 24/7, our online radio station which features the best mix of great Greek music, plus programming and interviews from the vast Diálogos Radio archive. Tune in through our website, dialogosmedia.org, in iTunes Radio, or at tunein.com. This is Diálogos Radio with Michael Nevradakis, the Greek-American radio program that is heard on 8 radio stations on 4 continents. Eleni Tsaligopoulou just wrapped up that set of great Greek music with a song titled Fterotomu Tragoudaki, while that set of songs began with Petros Dourodoubakis along with Vagelis Karipis and Antonis Apergis singing Oti Anapse Thasvisi. Coming up now on Diálogos Radio is a special interview with Vasiliki Mitrakos, an editor with a fresh new Greek-American publication that is opening doors to the worldwide Greek community, Portes Magazine, and in this interview, Vasiliki will introduce the magazine, but she will also talk about a new collaboration that the magazine will soon be launching in conjunction with Diálogos Radio, a collaboration that we will soon be airing on our broadcasts. This interview begins right now, here on Diálogos Radio. Joining us right now on Diálogos Radio is the editor of Portes Magazine, Vasiliki Mitrakos, who will talk to us about a new feature that we will soon be launching here on Diálogos Radio. Vasiliki, thank you for joining us and Happy New Year.
Hello, Happy New Year as well, and thank you for having me.
To get us started, share a few words with us about Portes Magazine and how it got started.
Well, Portes Magazine is the official publication of Ariston Foundation. The inaugural issue was published in the summer of 2012, so it began a little over a year ago. In the coming year, actually, we will be shifting from a biannual publication to an online quarterly, and we will be launching a new online version before the spring, which will include our first online issue. Now, originally, Portes Magazine was a biannual print publication, and we do intend on continuing with print, but in the form of special collection books, which will include like the best content throughout the year that was published online, and that will be printed probably at the end of the year, and those print copies will be sent to subscribers.
And what sort of content is typically featured in the magazine?
Well, in terms of the content, we include a lot of original stories, photos, and articles or interviews special to Portes Magazine. The magazine includes, I guess, features on a variety of topics. It's not a trade magazine. It includes everything from specials on Greek politics to cuisine, travel, fashion, and business. And we also basically include several standard sections that appear in every issue. Now, the idea behind Portes Magazine is also to make it kind of like a community magazine in some ways. We have, for example, included staff-picked photos of Greece. And we're also open to feedback and suggestions from some of our fans and our audience. In terms of our team, if you'd like to know a little bit more about the Portes team, it was started by a group of young professionals and students, and currently we're growing to include more experienced reporters and up-and-coming special contributors or journalists. Yeah, so we're open to a variety of contributors, and both in Greece and the Hellenic diaspora. So.
And since you mentioned contributors, how can people who are interested in contributing some material to Portes magazine or supporting the magazine in some way do so?
Well, Portes, we like to think of it as a publication that opens doors in a variety of ways, either opening a door through new and unique content and design, or offering young talent a platform to write and report on various topics. Now, anyone who's interested in reporting can simply reach out to us and give us their ideas or demonstrate that they're interested in contributing to Portes magazine, either an article or a column or even photography or any suggestions. Now, since the publication is part of a nonprofit and is still relatively young, all of the editing, writing, layout, and reporting is done on a volunteer basis. But we're happy to say that the people who do contribute do love to write and design and have their work published. So we do have a diverse group of contributors in every issue. And the common tie, however, is their love for Greece and their love for publications.
And we mentioned at the beginning our upcoming collaboration between Portes Magazine and the Alagos Radio. You will be creating occasional segments that we will be airing here on the Alagos Radio with content from Portes Magazine. What can our listeners expect to hear?
What's great about Portes is that its content is original and special to the magazine, so it's written by our group. And you can expect to hear firsthand notes or features about special places we've visited in Greece, exclusive interviews, or interesting individuals, and other ideas and concepts around Greece and the diaspora that are not always very well publicized elsewhere.
Finally, where can our listeners find out more information about Portes?
Well, currently our informational website is www.portesmagazine.com. But as I mentioned earlier, we will be revamping our online presence, and we will have a new and updated website soon before the spring. In the meantime, listeners can also check out our Facebook page, which is updated more often at Portes Magazine.
Wonderful. Well, Vasiliki, thank you very much for joining us, and we look forward to hearing your features on the Alagos Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
The Alagos Radio 24/7, our online radio station which features the best mix of great Greek music, plus programming and interviews from the vast The Alagos Radio archive. Tune in through our website, thealagosmedia.org, in iTunes Radio, or at tunein.com. Take the Alagos Radio on the go with you with the new the Alagos Radio app for Android devices. Now you can listen live to the Alagos Radio and the Alagos Radio 24/7, download our podcasts, and read our latest articles, all in our free Android app, available now in the Google Play Store. We just heard Vasiliki Mitrakos, an editor with Portes Magazine, here on the Alagos Radio. We are very excited to be launching this new collaboration with Portes Magazine, and quite soon we will be launching our new on-air features that will be produced in conjunction with the Portes editorial staff, which we will also be making available as part of the Alagos Radio podcast as well. Right now, though, we'll get back to some music here on the Alagos Radio, and when we return in a few moments, we'll have a few more announcements that you will not want to miss, including a few words about what is in store on our upcoming broadcasts.
Φέραμα από εδώ, τα φέραμα από εκεί. Άντε ξανά τα ίδια απ' την αρχή. Τα φέραμα από εδώ, τα φέραμα από εκεί. Εγώ ξανά στο τίποτα,
στο γενικά εσύ. Στο γενικά νύχτες δίχως όνομα, νύχτες χωρίς σκοπό, χαμένη από χέρι, χαμένη και η πιο ανοητές αγάπες, ανοητά φιλιά. Λόγια, 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 λόγια ψεύτικα, λόγια, λόγια ψεύτικα. Τώρα τι να σου πω, τι να μου πεις και εμένα, έτσι όπως παίξαμε κι οι δυο με ζάρια πειραγμένα. Τα φέραμε από εδώ, τα φέραμε από εκεί, εγώ ξανά στο τίποτα, στο γενικά εσύ. Στο γενικά νύχτες τυχώς όνομα, νύχτες χωρίς σκοπό, χαμένη από χέρι, χαμένη και οι δυο, ανοητές αγάπες, ανοητά φιλιά. Λόγια ψεύτικα.
Για όλα αυτά τι φταίει, για όλα αυτά τη φταίει. Δεν είναι πως δεν άντεξα, ούτε πως δεν αντέχω. Λίγα εσύ μου ζήτησες, σου δώσα ό,τι έχω. Σου δώσα ό,τι έχω. Σου δώσα ό,τι έχω. Σου δώσα ό,τι έχω. Αυτά παθαίνει η μάτια μου, όποιος πολύ αγαπάει. Κοντάει μέσα στα σύννεφα, στη γη παραπατάει. Αυτά παθαίνει η μάτια μου, όποιος πολύ αγαπάει. Κοντάει μέσα στα σύννεφα, στη γη παραπατάει.
Τόση μοναξιά
σε πιο αστείο να χωρέσει. Τίποτα δε ζω που να μη φαίνεται φτηνό. Ποιος φωνάζει, ποιος πληγώνει τη σιωπή, τι να θέλει να μου πει. Ποιος φωνάζει, ποιος πληγώνει τη σιωπή, τι να θέλει.
Follow Diálogos Radio on Facebook and Twitter and remain connected to all our latest news and updates. Check us out today at facebook.com/dialogosmedia and at twitter.com/dialogosmedia. This is Diálogos Radio, the Greek-American radio program that is heard on 8 radio stations in the United States, Greece, Australia, online, and now also in South Africa. And at this point, I would like to welcome all of our new listeners from South Africa who are listening in through Hellenic Radio, 1422 AM in Johannesburg and the surrounding region. We are excited to be on the air in South Africa for the first time, and we give our very warm regards to the rather large Greek community that is based in South Africa. And we are also very excited to be back on the air with a new set of broadcasts for the year 2014. This is our first broadcast of the new year, and earlier today we heard an interview with Professor Albert Ritzel of the London School of Economics, who spoke extensively about the issue of Germany's unpaid war debts and war reparations toward Greece from World War II. The podcast of this interview, in case you missed it, will soon be available online on our website, dialogosmedia.org, also in iTunes, in tunein.com, in the official Dialogos Radio app for Android devices, for Kindle devices, and for Blackberries. And in addition, you can find our podcasts in the Swell Radio app for iPhones and iPads, the Nobex Radio app for Blackberry phones, and in the Windows Marketplace for Windows phones and the Windows 8 operating system. And recently, we also launched 3 new apps for the Google Chrome browser, from which you can hear our podcasts, you can listen to our web radio station, the Dialogos Radio 24/7, and you can also read all of our latest news and announcements as well. These free apps are available in the Chrome Web Store. We are the first Greek radio outlet with apps for Google Chrome, and we will continue to do whatever we can to innovate and to get our programming available on as many new technological platforms as possible in the new year. Coming up on our future broadcasts, we will be featuring a number of special interviews that you will not want to miss, including a forthcoming interview with the honorary vice president of the Onassis Foundation, Paul Ioannidis. We also have an interview coming up with Professor Mark Blythe of Brown University, who will talk about the historical failures of economic austerity policies wherever they have been implemented, including right now in Europe. We will also feature an interview with Elias Koulikoundis, a Greek-American author and documentary filmmaker, who will talk about his work, his books, his documentary films, and about his very interesting life experiences. That is definitely an interview that you will not want to miss. And soon we will also have some special musical features and interviews featuring some Greek artists and musicians as well. Next week, however, we will most likely be featuring an interview with the Greek economist Dimitris Kazakis, who will share with us his insights and analysis regarding Greece's current economic state, as well as the impact of Greece's current European Union presidency on the country's economic crisis and also the country's political situation. Stay tuned for that and much, much more on next week's broadcast of the Dialogos Radio. For now, though, today's broadcast is about ready to come to a close, and we will finish out today's show with one final song with a band known as the Alchemistes and a song titled Parame. Thank you very much for joining us today. We will be back on the air next week, same time, same place. Best wishes from all of us here at Dialogos Radio for a happy and healthy new year. Kalli chronia se olus.
Hey. τα ψέματα βροχή. Μα η αλήθεια σώζει. Κι η μόνη αλήθεια είσαι εσύ, η πιο γλυκιά καμιβή. Εδώ οι κακίες δίνονται λευκό αγγέλου ντύμα. Πάρε μ' απόψε, πάρε με ζεστό αγάπης κύμα. Και σε περιμένω, τσιγάρο αναμένω. Και σε περιμένω στην αγκαλιά σου να σωθώ. Μανάει ο άνεμος, μα ο άνεμος δεν ξέρει πως το κορίτσι που θα έρθει την άνοιξη θα φέρει. Και σε περιμένω, τσιγάρο αναμένω. Και σε περιμένω σαν ακρογιάλι θα ανοιχθεί.